This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Whippersnappers indeed, Matty T, from one whippersnapper to another, I should think. Thank you for the news. Today we are talking to the winners of the Electrolux Young, well, they're the Young Everything of the Year, the Appetite for Excellence Awards, Young Waiter, Young Chef and Young Restaurateur. The future of our industry is all going to be talking to me today, and we have Fee Gardner, who oversees the program, joining us to explain what it's all about. Stick with me, it's going to be good fun. Indeed, we are talking cravings because it's that time of the week. Hello, Pete Dillon with you. Again, I know some of you have already heard me for a couple of hours this morning, but that's okay because we're on an entirely different subject matter. And that subject matter is, in fact, the future of this industry as determined by the Electrolux Appetite for Excellence Awards. These were announced on Monday night, and some very bright young things of our industry were all involved, and the winners were... it was a very pleasing result, I think, for all concerned. One of those winners is in the studio with me. Her name is Sonia Bandera. She is the winner of the Young Waiter of the Year and works at Rockpool Bar and Grill. Sonia, welcome.
Thank you.
Has it sunk in yet that you were the winner of this this Young Waiter of the Year?
It actually has. It probably sunk in about yesterday.
Yep.
So now I'm really excited.
Right. And you're running around furiously telling people that you have this raft of prizes that you have to spend.
Yes.
Yes. We'll come to that in a little while because first I wanted to grab hold of Fee Gardner. Fee oversees this program, which started in 2005 and is still going strong in 2013. She has great people involved with it as well. Fee Gardner, good afternoon.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Let's talk about the program. Sonia's here and she's grinning from ear to ear like a Cheshire cat. She's so excited to have won this Young Waiter. How important is it to the future of our industry that these awards actually exist?
I think it's really important because it's about picking out the culinary custodians of the future of the industry and sort of giving them some encouragement and support to be the best that they can be to continue in the industry, especially since there's a huge skill shortage in hospitality. There's approximately about 3,500 jobs that will never be filled in Australia alone. So we're trying to just encourage the next generation to continue in the industry that they all love and give them the support as well as the network to do so.
Now, this is a process that goes over some time. There's criteria involved. You've got to match some criteria to be able to enter. There's a whole process of being examined and checked out to whittle down to, I think, a final... Was there a final eight?
Final six?
Final seven, beg your pardon.
Yep. And
so for the first time in the 9 years of the awards, it was held in Melbourne, the foodie capital of the country.
True.
Brianna will agree because Sonia will agree because she works here in Melbourne. Brianna was one of the other winners in this category. So we award a Young Waiter of the Year, a Young Chef and a Young Restaurateur. How do you find them, first of all, or is this something that the industry promotes from within itself?
It's a little bit of both, actually. So we sort of talk to our networks in Australian Pork, for instance, or Porksa, Meat and Livestock Australia, and a lot of those produce partners. And then also we talk to all of our judges and also all the past people that have been involved, I guess, are really great custodians in themselves and ambassadors. And they've had such a positive experience with the program that they like to sort of encourage others to potentially get the same experience or a better experience for themselves. But it's what they put in is what you get out. So,
And those people that have gone in past years, there's some great big names among them. And they are, as you say, great custodians and great ambassadors for the industry, but they themselves have gone on to be leaders in the industry.
Absolutely. And that's probably another crucial thing that I should have mentioned before. We're trying to also create a sustainable industry as well. So by encouraging people like Sonia and James, as well as Jacob, as they grow in their careers, then they will also then pass on their knowledge and help educate people within their peer group or within their employment, or if they then become an employer, then they will hopefully also do that as well, which I know Sonia's pretty keen to do already, I think.
Yes. So, yeah. Sonia, how did you get involved? Let's talk about that first. When did you first hear about this and determine to enter or be spoken to about it?
Well, the first time I actually heard about it when I was opening up Maize, and Penny Grant was working there, and she was actually a national finalist a few years ago, and that was actually the first time I'd heard of it. And then working at Rockpool, we actually had a past winner working with us, and the clock at the...
You're allowed to drop a name.
So Alice Heath actually worked at Rockpool with us, and I'd already been thinking about applying, and just talking to her about her experiences doing it really just kind of sealed the deal for me, and we got the invitations to apply at Rockpool, and I grabbed one, and... Here we are.
Yes. What was the hardest part of the process?
I think the hardest part of the process would probably have had to be the actual judging itself. I mean, the application form wasn't that, you know, it was challenging with some of the questions, but I think just being under the scrutiny of people that we really respect in the industry and seeing the talent of the other participants, I mean, that was a really, really stressful 2 days.
Sorry.
I was about to say, Fee, why do you make things so hard for these young people? What were you looking for? And I know that Luke Mangan is heavily involved. You have the likes of Andrew McConnell, Christine Manfield, Lisa Van Handel. What do you look for when you're determining who is going to win each of these categories? What's that one standout character, I guess, that you're looking for?
You know, I'd have to probably quote a couple of the judges and say that I guess it's confidence, but with humility. If you really want to nail just one sort of aspect, because I think there's several in there, but I think that one as well is really important. People that are confident within themselves and their skill set, but also have a little bit of humility, so they don't have that ego as well. And I think that all of our national, Sonia's heard this a million times, but I like to say to all the national finalists that I think they're all winners in their own way. They really are. They're just absolute standouts in their own fields. And I would hate to be a judge, although the judges say to me, look, no offense. Actually, there's a process there and it's all good and we're okay with it. But for me, I couldn't do it. I think that they're all standouts.
Well, Sonia was saying that, and she's going to talk a little bit more about this, but the produce tour that they do as part of the of being a finalist, she said there was not one occasion where anybody else sort of looked at anyone in the group and went, oh, you're a bit of a knob. So that's an encouraging thing. Look, Fee, stick with us. We're just going to have a couple of messages and we'll be back to talk more about the Appetite for Excellence Awards. It's 13 minutes past one here on the gayest station in the nation, Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
You're here on Cravings on Joy 94.9, 14 minutes past one. We are talking with, first of all, Sonia Bandera. She is the winner of the Electrolux Appetite for Excellence Young Waiter of the Year Award. She is from Rockpool Bar and Grill and a shining light in our industry. Also on the phone, Fee Gardner, who oversees the Appetite for Excellence program. Fee, how long have you been involved?
I've been involved since late 2008, but I also helped roll out the program in 2005 as well, before I sort of dipped off to do some other things. So quite a while now, actually, I'm thinking about it.
Getting a bit long in the tooth there, Doug. and how long does the process take? So the applications will open when for the next awards?
The next awards, next year they'll be opening in February. We haven't settled on a date just yet. It's in the making. There's a couple of other things that we need to look at before we do that. But February usually. And then we usually give around 8 weeks, depending upon the flow of Easter.
Mm-hmm.
Or about the lunar calendar. So we're looking at after Easter, just because... people being people, human nature, it's always to put things at the last minute. But we all find with hospitality as well, because of the Easter break, it gives them a little bit more time to actually put something forward, especially the chefs, because they have to create recipes as well to go with their application. And then from that process, the judges in every state review the applications, whittle it down to sort of say, look, these are probably the 12 to 16 to 18 people that we'd like to see from around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there... we then bring them into Sydney and they go through a couple of rounds of processes just to sort of determine skill set, get to meet them as well, interview them and sort of get them off paper and in the flesh. So, and then the judges, there's 2 days that they all go through, Sonia of which was talking about before. And then from that, 7, that's where we select. All the judges select the winners from, and the runners-up, and the highly commended, and then we all go off on a bus for 7 days and become very good friends.
Sonia, what was the fun of that produce tour? You mentioned outside before we came into the studio that there was a wonderful sense of camaraderie, if you will, a wonderful sense of you guys just all got along, and it sounds a little bit Pollyanna, but that was actually the case.
It was actually the case. I think the great thing about the produce tour is that, you know, there's the aspect of the fact that most of us work in a city and we're so far removed from where the produce that we use come from that it's really great to see that and talk to the people growing it. And there was that aspect of learning. But just being around, you know, 21 other individuals that had just as much passion as you did and that had so much knowledge that you could learn from, there wasn't a day that I wasn't talking to somebody about what they did in the industry, how they got to be doing it and what their thoughts and opinions were. So they were all a great group of people. And with any luck, I'll be seeing them all again.
Very good. Fee, next year celebrates 10 years, does it?
Kind of. Yeah, we've been going for 9 years, but someone kindly pointed out to me the other day that, you know, you don't... a child has to go through 1 year before you actually call it one. So I was like,
yeah,
oh,
but
damn,
the child... that's poppycock. if you started the awards in 2000, there was 05, 06, 07, 08,
yep.
09, 10, 11, 12, 13. That's 9 in my book. In 2014, it'll be the 10th awards. Any thought, and this is probably going to throw a spanner amongst the works, of hosting those awards in Brisbane, which is sizzling hot right now for food?
I wouldn't know about that, actually. It's probably a discussion that's going to come up in the next couple of weeks, because we're just about to do our reviews with some of our sponsors and all the judges and everyone, just to make sure, you know, everyone was happy, because we actually operate a lot on feedback. So we ask not only the judges, but everyone who's been involved in the program, like Sonia and James and all the national finalists, what their feedback is and what their thoughts are, so that we can make sure that we're hitting, you know, what our markers for them, because we're here for them. So Brisbane, maybe not sure.
Oh, so hot right now for food. It really, really is. Fee, thank you for your time today. I'll let you go out now and have a glass of wine.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. That's Fee Gardner. Okay. She is from the Appetite for Excellence Awards. She oversees them. Sonia, I want to come back to you now, because there's a bunch of stuff that you get to do because of these awards. First of all, the World Gourmet Summit in Singapore next year is a part of your prize package. And that's where you're going to get to rub shoulders with Michelin-starred chefs and leaders in the industry. Are you excited by that?
I am. I'm actually thrilled. I'm really looking forward to it.
Mm.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's a gathering of the greats, one would suggest. I did ask you outside, and I'm going to ask you again. There's no real sort of Uber restaurant celebrity that you have a desire to meet, is there?
Not really. And it sounds really horrible.
No, it doesn't sound horrible at all.
I think for me, you know, when I meet people in the industry and people that inspire me, it has to be a little bit more tangible in terms of what I can achieve and what I can learn from them. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really great to look towards people that have done really well and are really famous, and, you know, what is possible for people in the hospitality industry. And that's where those celebrities come into it, where people in high school and things like that can see what other possibilities there are in this industry and that it is a viable career. But for me, I always look towards people that I can actually learn from. And the people that inspire me are people that I meet and am impressed by. So I think I wait to meet somebody before I decide that I'm overly impressed by them.
And two names that I can drop into that mix, Heston Blumenthal, who is just a cracking bloke, and Rene Redzepi, who is number one in the world still, from Noma in Denmark. You've had both of them in the restaurant. You've met both of them.
Yes.
They're both quite down-to-earth sort of lads, aren't they?
They are very down-to-earth, very friendly. And I think the key word that Fee used earlier was that they're very humble. You know, they don't act like they're these amazing, talented, famous chefs. They just act like they're...
Well,
yeah,
at the end of the day, they're blokes that slap food on a plate. Heston probably does it slightly differently to most, but that's what they do at the end of the day. So you also get a couple of you get return overseas flights to participate in 2 weeks work experience at a world-leading restaurant. Have you made your choice?
What do I get to do?
Oh, no, sorry, that's for the chef.
That's not me.
Hang on. No, it does say you. So you go to the Gourmet Summit, and then it says return overseas flights to participate in 2 weeks work experience at a world-leading restaurant overseas.
I didn't know that part of the prize.
Well, that's what my paperwork says, so...
Fantastic.
Which restaurant would you go to? Completely off the cuff.
In the world.
Yeah.
I think, actually, we got asked this question for a magazine, for the food service magazine, and I quite like restaurants that have a very, you know, big focus on produce.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a restaurant in the States, the Blue Stone Farm...
Yes.
I think it is. The name always escapes me. And they're amazing. Like, they grow everything themselves. They even devised a way of smoking meat or cooking meat on its animal's own bones. So they'd slaughter the animal and then use the bones as part of the wood to cook the animal. And then they do like a taste test of one animal cooked with the bones of different other animals and things like that. That really interests me.
So you're not going to head off to the Fat Duck or Noma or Salle de Conroca or...
Because you've just thrown that question at me.
Yeah, you've got no
and
idea.
I haven't thought of it. Maybe, actually. I mean, Noma would be lovely. Mm. You know, even there's so much, and part of me, maybe it's because I'm half Spanish, but there are so many good things happening in Spain with food and their, you know, attitude towards food.
Well,
and what
number
they
two
come
in the world.
With. Number two in the world.
Salle de Conroca, the Roca brothers. There's also... the woman, she is a third or fourth generation, Elena Arzac, at the restaurant Arzac.
Yeah.
Amazing family also in Spain. Now, you also get to spend a couple of days at a renowned Australian winery with a winemaker, and you've chosen that wonderful Australian brand of Henschke.
Yeah, so Henschke is one of the sponsors of the Electrolux Appetite for Excellence Awards. And we did actually go and get to see them on the last day of our produce tour.
Yep.
And that was amazing for me. We got to stand at the Hill of Grace. And
oh, there could be no greater, almost a religious experience, I would think.
I realised what a wine nerd I was when I got so excited over some grass and some plants. And I was over the moon, yeah.
Well, wine is your thing. You also get another prize, which assists with overseas travel and work experience expenses. One of those you suggested might be to go and... do a vintage somewhere?
Yes. So I'm still kind of battling whether I want to make sure that it's wine focused purely and do vintage somewhere in Austria or Germany, where that's where some of my favourite wines come from. So
let me guess, you're a Grüner Veltliner fan.
I am a Grüner Veltliner fan.
Oh, it's written all over your face. Sonia Bandera is in the studio with me. She is one of the three winners of the Appetite for Excellence Awards, presented by Electrolux every year now in its ninth year. The 10th awards will be next year. We're going to be back very shortly, but first of all, I thought we might have a bit of music just to break up the chit chat before we speak to the next winner, who is the young chef of the year, Jacob Davey. He's from Mark in Sydney, but we've got a bit of a Melbourne connection there as well. Here is We Are Young. This is from Fun, from their album Some Nights.
Joy 94.9.
It's 1:30 here on Joy 94.9. This is Cravings. My name is Pete Dillon, and with me in the studio, Sonia Bandera, winner of the Young Waiter of the Year at the Electrolux Appetite for Excellence Awards that were announced right here at the Hilton on Monday night, the first time they were announced in Melbourne. That track we heard was We Are Young. That was from the band Fun, their album Some Nights, which came out, I believe, late last year, if my memory serves me correct. Sonia, you were talking earlier about this next person we're about to speak to was almost a foregone conclusion amongst all of you as contestants. That's Jacob. Am I reading that correctly?
I think, you know, Jacob talking to the chefs, none of them were really surprised that Jacob had won it. You know, a lot of them spoke about, you know, how good his skill set was. That said, to me, I was in awe of all of the chefs. You know, it was, I was looking at all of them thinking, you know, if I knew that many people that were as talented as them, God, I'd be opening up my own restaurant.
Jacob Davey, that's a strong praise indeed.
It is, it is. That's good to hear.
Firstly, congratulations. You were the winner of the Young Chef of the Year award. Now, you work at Mark Restaurant in Sydney, which is owned by, as we know, Mark Best, who is himself a pretty quiet man. Is he the same in the restaurant as he is out in public?
I think his public persona is probably a little bit different to how he's in the restaurant, but he's definitely a great boss to work for.
Excellent. Now, Jacob, are you from Melbourne?
I was born in Frankston, but I grew up in Adelaide.
Okay. So you worked at Taxi Dining Room.
That's correct.
When you were, well, I say when you were a young fella, you're probably still a young fella. Kitchen WH.
I'm not so young now.
Well, you're still in you're the young chef of the year, mate, so you're still young. Kitchen WH and Pied-à-Terre in London. Did you work with Shane Osborne?
I did.
Another cracking Australian bloke and a Michelin star winner. What does this mean to you for your career? Because I'll go through the sort of prize stuff in a minute. What does it mean to be recognised by, you know, industry leaders as the Young Chef of the Year? Were you surprised?
I was very surprised. I was confident that I did well in the cook-off, but I didn't think that I did, you know, I completely nailed it. But, yeah, This means a great deal.
Yeah.
Like, it's industry exposure. It's a great feeling to be sort of respected by your peers and, you know.
Mm. Now, you head off to Italy at some point to represent Australia and compete in the San Pellegrino Cooking Cup in Venice, and are followed by a visit to... two of the world's most renowned mineral water, the sources of those for San Pellegrino and Aquapana. What sort of fun do you reckon that trip's going to be?
Sorry?
What sort of fun do you reckon that trip will be?
Oh, it's going to be awesome. You know, I can't wait to go to Venice and meet the other chefs I'm going to cook with. And and the tour of Aquapana is supposed to be fantastic. I was speaking to Stuart, who was the winner last year, and he said that was a real highlight.
You also get another trip to participate in a couple of weeks of work experience at a world-leading restaurant, which you've sort of already had, but it'd be nice to go and do it again. Do you have it somewhere you want to go?
I mean, there's a couple of places in the US I'd like to check out, and also a place called Franzén Lindberg in Sweden. But I'm just going to wait and see and sort of see
what happens.
How it all pans out.
Sure. Now, talk to me about the driving force or the technique that you want to develop or that you want to hone is all around the natural preservation of fermentation of meat, fruit, and vegetables. Talk me through that process. What happens? How does it all work?
It's a really natural way of preserving, and I think it's something that is old fashioned, but can really be made new again. And it, you know, natural preservation and natural pickling is actually really good for you. There's natural cultures that are in the food that are good for your immune system.
Yep.
And it's, you know, it's just something that we're working a lot with here at Mark, and I'd like to continue exploring.
Very good. Who's been your influence? I know you've worked with a couple of great chefs, but has there been one person that whose success you would like to emulate or who's influenced the way that you think about food?
I think all of my head chefs along the way have been great. They've all been inspiring in different ways and all very successful in their own right. So I wouldn't like to pinpoint one.
That would be favouritism, wouldn't it?
That would be.
Who did you work under at Taxi? Was it...
that was Michael and
Michael
Tony.
Lambie and Tony and Twitch.
Yeah, and Tony.
He's a good guy, isn't he, Tony Twitchett?
Yeah, he's fantastic.
He was there the other night, I believe.
Sorry?
I believe he was there the other night. Did you get to see him?
No, I didn't see him. And he's hard to miss.
Yeah, he is hard to miss. I'm not sure whether he actually made it or not. I know that...
But he definitely sent his congratulations.
He's a good guy. Have you managed to come down from it all? Were you surprised when your name was called? Because you followed. So there was a highly commended award that went
to Josh
Nyland, who's from Fish Face in Sydney, and then Braden White from Hatch & Co in Brisbane was the runner-up. Were you surprised when your name was announced, particularly when you had somebody who's already a hatted chef in the lineup?
Yeah, I was very surprised. I mean, all the chefs that made it to the Nationals were so talented, and any one of us could have taken it out. I think it was, you know, we all had the skills to get there. I think I was probably just lucky on the day, lucky on the cook-off, and everything sort of fell into place.
I think you're being a little bit too humble. I think it comes down to just a little bit more than luck. And Sonia's sitting here nodding. She agrees that it's a little bit more than luck. Sonia, like as we said at the top of this chat with Jacob, none of you were surprised when he was announced, were you?
No. I mean, that said, I'm sure whoever's name it would have been would have made sense to us.
Yep.
But I think the great thing about Jacob is that he is so humble. And he's just the classic example of a quiet achiever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think everything that I saw him do was amazing. Everything that I saw him cook, I wanted to eat. but that said, you know, all like Jacob just said, all of the chefs were, and I think for the age that they're at and their attitudes and their maturity, it's actually really comforting to see that that's where the industry is heading in the kitchen.
Mm. And likewise on the floor, I'm sure you'd say the same, Jacob, that the industry is in good hands with people like Sonia in front of house.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. All the young waiters were fantastic, and the young restaurateurs, really inspiring.
What's in the future for you, mate? Do you have a desire to throw yourself into a ridiculous amount of debt and own a restaurant, or are you going to wait until things settle?
At the moment, I think I'll just wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
The debt is definitely something that's scary.
Very.
and especially sort of the restaurant climate at the moment. It's tough all over.
It is, and you're running on lucky to be 2 or 3% net profit margin, which isn't a lot of money to manage a great big business. So my hat's off to you for having the common sense to wait a little while. So you don't when's the big trip to Venice?
I think it's May.
Okay, so you've got a bit of time to prepare.
I've got a bit of time.
Have you got a little secret recipe up your sleeve that you can let us know about that you're going to take across with you?
Oh, I'm not sure. I think I'll speak to Stuart and speak to Richard. Richard obviously won it over there.
Yeah.
And then I'll try and get some inside information.
Terrific. Well, Jacob, look, our heartiest congratulations to you. I believe the award was very well deserved, and we wish you every success as a custodian of the industry in the future.
Oh, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Thanks for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you. That's Jacob Davey. He is a very humble and very polite young man, Sonia.
He is, yep.
And he's the sous chef at Mark Restaurant in Sydney. And if the industry is in hands like his, then we are indeed for a good future. We'll have a little bit more music and we'll come back and speak to the Young Restaurateur of the Year. I cannot believe it's already 20-2 here on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Guy Grossi and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
What happens when disco and bingo collide? It's disco bingo, of course. Put your flares on and roller skates and boogie on down to the very first Joy Disco Bingo on Saturday, August 31st at the Birmingham Hotel at 333 Smith Street, Fitzroy. Doors open at 6:30, meals are available, eyes down at 7:30, followed by, you guessed it, disco dancing. This is a Joy fundraiser. It's only $10 per disco bunny. It will be a sellout, so don't miss out. Call 1300 569 949 and book your tickets now. You're here on Joy 94.9. It's just before 1:45, and we are celebrating the Electrolux Appetite for Excellence Awards. Sonia Banderas in the studio with me from Rockpool Bar and Grill. We just spoke to the Young Chef of the Year, Jacob Davey from Mark in Sydney, and we are now very pleased to be joined by a young man by the name of James Viles. He is from Biota Dining in Bowral. James, good afternoon.
Afternoon. How are you?
Good, thank you. Look, firstly, congratulations on your award. Was it a surprise?
It was a big surprise. I mean, there's a great lineup of restaurateurs there this year, and you know, very, very pleased to be there with such great talent. So, yeah, it's very nice.
I understood you have a bit of a personal motto, which I think goes along the lines of always bite off more than you can chew, and then chew like crazy.
Yeah, pretty much. I think. I mean, we only have one shot at everything, don't we? So, I think I think if you have a dream or you have something that you enjoy, I think it's very important that no matter what it is, that you chase it. So.
Mate, I want to talk about your trajectory, I guess, in some sense, is going to be quite different to Sonia and Jacob's, in that you've already, bitten off the idea and you've gone into a restaurant. Is this your first restaurant or your second?
It's the first restaurant on my own. I did do one about 10 years ago with somebody when I was about 22 or 23. But this one is, this one is the one that I wanted to do. And also, you know, the first one I learned from a lot of mistakes. So,
tell me, who goes into business at 22 or 23 in the restaurant game? Pray tell.
I don't know. I wasn't ready, to be honest. And I think I learned a lot from that. You know, the restaurant, it did well. It got one hat and it had a great little following. But it didn't make any money and it didn't survive, you know, past sort of 1.5 years. So.
Which is always a good barometer. If it doesn't make it past 1.5 or it's struggling at 1.5, then it's not going to get there at all. Now, you have a philosophy of, or your restaurant's Biota Dining's philosophy. You're in Bowral in the Southern Highlands of New South Wales. It's to have a restaurant with a casual bar serving humble flavours with local boutique food-friendly wines and a dining room that serves curious produce driven food with a progressive approach. Everybody that I've spoken to about you since the awards has pretty much the same thing to say, that you embody everything that the awards stand for. You're humble, but you're very confident in what you do. Where has it come from? Did you grow up in a house where your family had businesses? Is it in your blood in that respect, or is this something that was completely new for you?
I guess my parents, my father is my business partner. We work very well together. And he always, they both did, my mother and my father, always supported me. If you have something that you enjoy, then do it, and you'll do well because you enjoy it. And I think that goes for any industry or any facet in life. You know, they've always been very, very supportive. I left school at, I think I did my school certificate, you know, while I was at work. So, and I, you know, I wasn't a good student, so leaving school early was the.
Please tell me you had a bit of a handle on maths.
Yeah, good.
So your prize, you get some great prizes, one of which is an all-expenses-paid trip to the either Asia's 50 Best Restaurants or to the World's 50 Best held in London. I think I know where I'd be going straight away, where you can rub shoulders with some of the famous in the industry.
That'll be a nice trip.
And some money to invest in the business. Is there any idea what you're going to spend it on?
I don't know, actually. I've just bought a hotel, so we're still in the sort of mid phase of fitting that out. And there's a few little things that might come in handy. Point of sale systems for the hotel or something. I'm not sure yet, but James, there's always something in restaurants and hotels. So
remind me again how old you are.
33.
So you're 33 years old, this is your second restaurant, the first on your own, and as an adjunct to that, you've just bought a hotel.
Yeah.
Not much of an achiever, are you?
No, you know, I don't know. Just I think sometimes it's also luck or being in the right place at the right time or, you know, I think, you know, it's.
Let me give you a bit of wisdom from an old man. We make our own luck.
That's true. We're the masters of our own destiny, aren't we?
We are indeed. Sonia, you're pretty impressed by James and the entire group of you that went on the produce tour. The national finalists were all pretty much of the same school of thought about James?
I think so, yeah. You know, nobody was... Like I said, you know, with Jacob, nobody would have been surprised about anybody. But, you know, James just really does have a great attitude, and it's quite interesting. You look at Jacob, the quiet achiever, and James very much falls into that category. I only really had my first proper conversation with James on the last day, and I was very disappointed that I'd had it so late in the tour.
Have you been drinking, Sonia?
Not allowed to drink here, man. It's a radio station, isn't it, right?
Do I sound like I've been drinking?
Yeah.
We're both actually talking about running off for a drink after this, which is perfectly reasonable at this time of a Saturday afternoon. Tell me a little bit about the restaurant.
So we're on 4 and a bit acres. We internal space at the restaurant's about just on 1,000 square meters.
Mm-hmm.
It's split into two different levels. The kitchen's about 250 square meters of that space.
Wow.
And it, you know, we started out in the kitchen with four chefs and about 8 floor staff in the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
That team, as a total, has built up now to 36.
Geez, that's a hell of a labour cost.
Yeah, and a rough week it is. But, you know, I think, and then, you know, amongst all of the grounds, we've been putting, garden beds in, kitchen gardens in,
mm-hmm.
All with their own sort of purpose, each one. One's got an automated hothouse that's all fed by a natural spring, which we have on site. I think the idea of Biota is to create a little wonderland of food that has some beds that you can sleep in. So,
wow, that's extraordinary. I'm just sitting here shaking my head, thinking this man is a young man and obviously a future leader of our industry. I'm going to probably ask you a stupid question.
Not at all.
It's not what's the end game, but given that you have seen success already so young as a restaurateur and being around the industry, is there a goal for you in the future that you want to work towards, or are you just going to take it as the dumb luck, as you call it, that happens?
No, there's a goal. I mean, I think it's important that anybody has something, you know, little to work towards. Doesn't matter what it is, but I think for me, I'd like to grow Biota. I think New South Wales deserves a very, very focused regional dining place that's modest and accessible as well.
Yep.
And I think that I would like to create an institution, and I know that's not going to take 2 years or 5 years or maybe not even 10. It might take 20, but to have something that's cemented into our dining culture for decades is something I'd like to create here. So
in the current restaurant climate, you know, I had the show last week was all about whether the industry is in peril. You know, Bacchus, the hazard restaurant in Newcastle, just closed its doors.
Yep.
Claude's at Willara is closing in September.
Yep.
Justin North's empire went down to the tune of, $4 million in debt.
Yep.
Do you think you're taking a risk by making these decisions, or is that all part of the bite off and chew like crazy?
Yeah, I think there is a risk there, and the last 2 years have certainly been extremely difficult. And it's about, putting, procedures in place and having guidelines in place from an operational level that can really... and I only have this one place, so I don't have to look out at other restaurants. And I think also having people that you work with or that work in the establishment that you trust and that do a great job is very important as well. So I guess, yeah, there is a risk. So
I take my hat off to you, mate. It's inspiring to hear that, and I'm saying this likewise with both Sonia and Jacob, that our industry is in such safe hands, because all three of you are a great testament to what we can look forward to, and I'm very grateful to have had the chance to talk through it with you.
That's very kind. I appreciate the phone call, and Sonia and Jacob and all the others. I mean, I was the old dog there, so I think it's nice to see. Because when I was their age, I was drunk in a gutter somewhere. So it's nice in a nicer way.
You don't want me to believe that, do you?
Yeah, no. But you know what I mean. At that age, it's nice to see such talent coming through. So and focused.
And look, at my age, it's nice to see young talent coming through at your age. So, again, mate, heartiest congratulations. I wish you every success and well done on winning the award. And good luck for what comes next.
Oh, thank you very much.
A pleasure.
Good afternoon.
That's James Viles. He is the Young Restaurateur of the Year, and Sonia, we can so see why.
Yeah, I've already told him to save a bed for me in that hotel. I cannot wait. I can't wait to go and dine there. I'm itching to go.
It sounds fantastic. I'm now going to be booking a bit of a
trip to Bauer or myself, I think. Sonia, thank you for joining me for the day.
Thank you very much for having me.
Again, heartiest of congratulations to you on the award, and I'm sure that you will be a regular guest on this show down the track as you keep progressing in the industry. It's wonderful to have been able to share this little bit with you.
Thank you. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us as well.
My absolute pleasure. This has been Cravings here on Joy 94.9. I'm going to play a couple of messages, and we're going to finish with a song, which is, of course, Bright Young Things by the Pet Shop Boys, to take us up to 2 o'clock. Thanks to Maddie T for the news and for, I don't even know who's on the desk at the minute, Mushin started on the desk. Whoever's out there now, thank you for program support. And I will be back. Actually, I won't be back next week. I will have a fill-in host next week, as I'll be up in the sun. So I'll be back in 2 weeks, and we'll have a bit of an Asian special on that program. Until then, bon appetit.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.